We're in a series entitled Living God's Way, and today we're going to talk about your response or your reaction to God's gift. What is God's gift? First of all, we'll talk about that, but what is your response to it? I think that's very important. Now, we're going to be continuing on in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to just look at three or four verses this morning. And if you don't have a Bible with you and want to follow along, just open the blue Bible in front of you to page 836, and you'll be right with us as we begin. Okay, let's talk about 1 Thessalonians for a moment. Paul came into this town, as was his pattern, went to a place where he would preach and teach. And as a result of that, people would come together, accept the message of Jesus Christ, and they started a church. Well, there were people in this city that didn't like that. In fact, they didn't like him at all. And so he had to leave this city and go to the next one. And in fact, they went to the next city. It was called Berea. And they chased him out of that one. And finally, he ended up in the ancient city of Corinth. And he had about a year and a half, more or less, of peace during that time in that city. Well, he was concerned about this new church that was in the city of Thessalonica. And so he sent Timothy back, and next week we're going to see all about that and get more information about that. But he did that, and he received a report. And he received a good report, but also he had some questions. And so what we've been doing is just kind of working our way through this first century letter, the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've looked in chapter 1 about praying more effectively. We've looked in chapter 2 about being bold for God. And what does that mean? What does that involve in our lives? And today we're just going to take a little section that kind of stands alone. What we're going to do is we're going to look at two reactions to God's gift. The first one is going to be by the Thessalonians themselves. The second one's going to be by these Jews that keep chasing Paul and disrupting his ministry. And we're going to look at these two reactions, these two responses, and see what we can learn for our lives today. Okay, look at verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. He says this, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God," in other words, when we came into your city and we taught God's word, you received it. You accepted it. You believed it, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So Paul's just saying, thank you for your reception of God's word. When we came in and we shared with you, you accepted this message. You believed it, and you began to live your life and follow what our word to you was, which is the book of 1 Thessalonians. Look at this. Verse 13, "the word of God which is at work in you who believe." He said, not only did you receive it, but it began to work. You began to live it out in your life. One of the true tests of knowing God's word is, does it begin to act out, live out in your life? Is it becoming apparent in your life that you know the Lord and that you're beginning to grow in a way that would honor Him? And that's what He said. Look at verse 14. "For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same thing those churches suffered from the Jews." He said, let me tell you something. When you received and accepted this message, that doesn't mean your life's going to be easy and simple. He said, you suffered, you were persecuted, as all the other churches have been. He said, you were the same as they were in this regard. They suffered. They endured persecution. Jewish Christians were suffering at the hands of other Jews. And he commended them for that. All right, so two verses. What we have, though, is we have our first response to God's word. All right, on your outline, we have two responses. What we're going to do is just look at that. All right, the first one is what the Thessalonians did. and what we can do in relation to this message. You can either accept, believe, and model God's Word. You see, that's what the Thessalonians did. When Paul came in, he shared, he taught, and as a result of this, they accepted this message. Well, what exactly was this message? Briefly, it was a message that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ came and He died for your sins on the cross, paid the penalty for your sins, and what you need to do is believe in Him, to put your faith in Him plus nothing else to save you. And then, they also, the Thessalonians, they began to model it. They began to grow in their walk with the Lord. It's interesting, when it talks about modeling God's Word, they not only heard God's Word, but they began to live it out in their lives. And this is one of the true marks of a believer, not only to accept and to believe, but to begin to model it. Let me ask you this. When you look around our church, are there some role models of people that you would want to follow? I believe in every church there are people that model a godly walk. What you need to do is you need to find some of those people, and they're here. They're around this church. And I know some of them, and I think they are great role models. And one of the things we can take from this is you need to find a role model. Someone who is walking in a way that would encourage you and challenge you, build you up. In 1986, the last thing in the world I wanted to be was a pastor. Pastors were nerds and geeks. They were good people, but they were just kind of wishy-washy nothings. I'll be honest with you. That's what I thought. I respected them, but that's what I thought. 1986, I met a man by the name of Dale Woolery, Church of the Open Door. Dale was different. Dale loved people, but Dale wasn't afraid to confront people and deal with people and not just let everything go. Because Dale really cared about people. He said, if you really care about people, you're going to help them. You're not going to say everything is okay and make all kinds of excuses. You're going to deal with people and help them. That is what a real pastor does. I remember sitting in his office thinking, wow, is that right? Dale began to work with me and challenge me and help me. You know what I liked about Dale too? Ministry was fun. It was enjoyable. You know why we were there? We came up with all kinds of creative ideas. Pretty much, not much was off limits to what we could do and develop and do for God's glory. Just as long as it didn't violate a biblical principle, it's okay. Let's give it a try. We did a car show. We brought up 75 cars to a hillside in Glendora. Had thousands of people come. And what you do for a car show is you put together a goodie bag, and in it we had information about our church. That's as much as we did. Actually, we had a band playing out in front too. But those are the kinds of things that Dale did. And over the course of a couple of years, Dale worked with me on teaching and learning to teach God's Word. And I still have a long ways to go on that. But he helped me in all these areas. After a couple of years, I said, you know what? That's what I want to do with my life. I want to be a pastor. But I want to be a pastor like that. That really helps people. That really deals with issues and goes on with their life. Dale Woolery helped me very much in that area. Who is your role model? Who has God put in your life to help you, to grow you, and to develop you? You need to find one. Look on your outline. Just a couple of thoughts here. And there's a little box. And in that box, it has three statements. The first one is this. Have you received the gospel? Do you know for sure that you have received Christ as your Savior? Number two, will you imitate it? See, this is what their reaction was, their response. They were imitating it and following what God's Word said. And number three, here's a big one. Would you suffer for it? Would you be willing to suffer for the gospel? Because this book teaches, as we've just been through these couple of verses, that they suffered. Would you be willing to suffer for it? Now there's one response, one reaction to the gospel. Can you do me a favor? Can you turn the fans on up here? Could we get these things on? Thank you. That is one response to the gospel. All right, let's look at the second response. We've got two more verses to go. And that response is in verse 14 and 15. Now we're looking at the next one. Okay, I'm going to pick up back in verse 13 where it says, "You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews." Okay, so Paul now begins something in verse 14, halfway through it. He says, if you desire to follow Christ, you're going to suffer. It's not going to be easy street. It's not red roses in your life. No, the difference is God and Christ, through Christ, will be with you. That is what the guarantee is from God's Word. It's not going to be easy. It's not. He said, you know what? Let me share with you in verses 15 what has happened. And what he does is something unlike any other place in the Scripture at this point. He will now talk about those Jews that have persecuted him, persecuted the church. And folks, to be honest with you, he just goes off on them. It's unlike any other place in the Scripture. And what he is going to do is list some of the charges that they have. And this is a different reaction from the Thessalonians, and that's our point. Look at verse 15. The same things from the churches suffered from the Jews. All right, here we go. Number one, who killed the Lord Jesus. So he said the Jews not only disrupt my ministry, but they killed the Lord Jesus. Now the truth of that is, actually the Romans did it. But more than that, did you and I do it? Yes, we did it because of our sin. He would have gone to the cross. It was a voluntary act on his part. But Paul just starts out by saying, who persecuted, who crucified Jesus Christ. Then he goes on. And the prophets. You see, God has sent messengers to his people, the Jews. It's all about the Jews. These are God's chosen people, and they've turned on him. They killed Jesus Christ. Not only that, but they crucified, they murdered his prophets, the messengers that were sent to them to turn back to him. And we see that in the New Testament. Look at this verse in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. And still, God loves them. How often I have longed to gather you as children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." Christ had such a heart for the Jews, but they turned on him. It was so hard for him. He goes on, "and also drove us out." So Paul says, not only did the Jews do that, but they drove us out. And exactly what I just shared with you about being chased from city to city to city. The Jews were doing that. They were disrupting the ministry that God had given them and his service. Now he makes a couple of other statements. Look at this. They displease God. Do you think that's an understatement? Folks, this is an understatement. God is not pleased at all with what the Jews have done and their work and their ministry. They displease him. They highly displease him. When people come in and disrupt God's work and God's service, God is not pleased with that. And he states it this way. It's stated so mildly. But it's done for a point, because they displease God. And he's speaking specifically of the Jews, but beyond that, those who do that. And then he says, and are hostile to all men. They are hostile to all men. Now, well, how can the Jews be hostile to all men? Well, it's because they are keeping the message of the gospel from going out to people. And when they do that, they keep people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So they are hostile to what God wants to accomplish in the world. They are hostile against him. I didn't say this would be the nicest message I've done. This is one of the toughest messages I've done. But this is where we're at in 1 Thessalonians. What's the second response? Number two on your outline. We have two responses. Here's what the Jews did. In response to what the Thessalonians did, they're contrasted. You can reject, refuse, and oppose God's word. And that is the exact point of this. That is what the Jews did in verses 14 and 15. They did everything they could to disrupt this. Reject, refuse, and oppose God's word. You know, I think about our area that we live in here. The areas that I have lived in my life, and I've lived in Northern California, Southern California, a couple different places, this is one of the most difficult areas that I have seen in reaching people for the gospel. I think every area is difficult, but this is one of the most difficult areas I've been in. And people, in terms of their response to the gospel, have you tried reaching out to someone? Have you tried being friendly? It's not easy, especially in this area. I would say probably the most blatant example of this happened on the last trip when I was in Russia. I was up walking over to a babushka. This would be an older Russian woman. And she was probably at least 75 years old. And I was just there talking to her. And all of a sudden, through my translator, and all of a sudden she just went off. She stood up and my translator said, "Dave, I don't think it's anything you said in particular. Her government's falling apart. Her Social Security's drying up. She has no hope. And an American coming in here," she just went off on me and she said, "Nyet, nyet, nyet, nyet." That's how you say no in Russian. Nyet. And she just got right in my face. And I said, "I'm sorry." And my translator just took me aside and said, "Perhaps we'll go talk to somebody else." But there are people that just reject, refuse, and oppose God's word. And we know that. All right, so what do we have this morning? Two responses. Accept, believe, model. On the other hand, reject, refuse, oppose God's word. But the difference here is, in verse 16, what is the result? What is the result of the second response? And the result is going to be in verse 16 for us. And it's not easy. Here it says, "They displease God and are hostile to all men. In their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, in this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit." And what he does is uses a picture here of a heap of things. It could be like a heap of clothes in your house. You know, it's just piled on top of each other. In the same way, when they reject and oppose God's word, they're heaping up sin on top of sin on top of sin. That is the picture. And so, point A now is this. There's a slow filling up of our sin. This is the picture in verse 16. So what he is saying, and in fact, the word here, the concept of this in verse 16 would be like this. A cup that you might use for coffee in my hand. Just picture that. And then an eyedropper. You know an eyedropper for putting drops in your eyes? It would be when you reject, refuse, and oppose God's word that that eyedropper drops another drop in. And drops another drop in. And another drop in. That's a picture until that cup is full. That's the exact picture of what is going on here in verse 16. And then it says, look at that last sentence of chapter 2. In verse 16. "The wrath of God has come upon them at last." And literally that phrase means the wrath of God will come upon them. That there is a time of love and patience on God's part. But those who reject, refuse, and oppose the gospel, God's wrath will come. And so on your outline, B, what does it say? God's wrath is on us. When we choose not to accept and receive that message, God's wrath is upon us. Lest you think this is only in 1 Thessalonians, let's look at another verse I'm going to have you read it with me. John chapter 3, verse 36. Read it with me. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's... All right, this is a New Testament principle that God's wrath is upon us. That He is not pleased when we do not accept His message. But you know what? He doesn't make robots, does He? He could have. God could have made robots, and we would just be little wind-up toys, but He doesn't. He gives us freedom to make a choice. All right, so let me review this. There's a box, I believe, at the bottom. And in that box, actually, there's a box down there, if I remember. Let's say this. If you reject the gospel, you have the wrath of God on you. You know what? Last week we talked about this. But if you reject the gospel, you have the wrath of God on you. The wrath of God here is in reference to the tribulation time and future judgment that will come. The wrath of God is on you. You see, though, it's your response. It's your choice. That's the way it is. There's two responses here. You can be like the Thessalonians and accept it and believe it. And that's good, but that's still not enough. You need to model it. On the other hand, you can reject, refuse, and oppose it. And what God's Word teaches in this chapter is that if you reject it, you have the wrath of God on you. And this is an incredible picture in the New Testament. You don't want the wrath of God on you. You just... I just can't. Because there's something else. This problem is solvable. And it's solvable because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that final box, the solution is this. Accept God's free gift. That's all there is to it. Accept His gift. And you know what? The wrath of God will no longer be upon you. Accept His gift. All you say is, God, I admit I've sinned. I ask You for forgiveness of my sin. Come into my life. It's that simple. And the wrath of God is not on you. And you begin to walk and live a life that's pleasing to Him. Let's use the same verse that I just used, John 3:36. That's the reason I chose this verse. Whoever... Okay, good. Stop. All right. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. This word means to put your faith in, to put your trust in. It does not say here whoever believes and gets baptized, does it? It does not say here whoever believes and go to church every week. Now that's a good idea. Go to church. There's other commands that talk about that. But it's solely, simply on believing in Him, putting your faith in Him, accepting Him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. This problem is solvable. Amen? Bow your head for just a moment. I recognize that in a room like this, there may be those who have not accepted God's free gift. What I'm going to do is just out loud share a simple prayer with you. And in your heart, in your spirit, you can just pray this prayer. And you can have the wrath of God taken from you. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Come into my life and forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for two responses made thousands of years ago. But as we look at them, we see these are responses that people have today to Your Word. There are those that accept it, believe it, and begin to grow and understand Your Word. Then there are those that just time after time reject, do nothing, God, help this to be a different Sunday for those. Lord, thank you that you are always waiting. You're always patient with us. Thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.